Welcome to Service Desk.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kim. And today with us, we have Kyle. Do you want us to use your last name? I should have asked that.
No, yeah, that's fine.
Kyle Turner is joining us today.
That's me, and my full social security number is 6. No. Oh, that is the first number. I didn't know why. If I actually kept going, I probably would have accidentally said it.
Good thing I can edit that out.
No, you're fine.
Good introduction.
I tried.
I can't say anyone is not very... That's the best way to introduce yourself to someone.
I think so. I think we need to just stop living in fear of just sharing every bit of identifiable information. Just give it all to the world. Identity theft is a lie perpetrated by the state.
I'm Andrew, and here's my DNA profile. If you want, I can I can give you my social ID profiles and my social security number by tomorrow.
See, you say that, you're joking, but we caught the Golden State Killer through DNA profiles, so maybe if we all did that, we'd figure out like who the Zodiac Killer is, you know?
Hey!
Well, I thought it was that one politician.
Oh, yeah, it's Tim Cruz, the proud senator from my home state, Texas. Is the Zodiac Killer.
Well, this has been a great introduction to the podcast here.
Yes.
It's exciting today because this is our first guest star, and apparently that means we're going to have some awesome tangents going on, which I am very okay with.
So Kyle's here because both Andrew and I are completely clueless when it comes to this newfangled Instagram. Is that what it's called? Yeah.
That's what it's called, yeah. Newfangled.
As far as I know, it's just an instant way to get graham crackers.
That's
Ooh.
It.
Are there marshmallows and chocolate too?
I will have to ask Kyle.
Kyle?
I think you have to pay extra, but I think it's a possibility. Since Facebook bought them, it's definitely possible because they'll do anything for money.
If only you were joking. yeah, so we do have a little bit of tech news. Do you want to start off with yours, Kyle?
Absolutely. Whenever we were talking about the news, we had to kind of dig through, you know, everything that's happened and try and find a beautiful nugget that's going on in the world. And I think the most important thing is that the European Union voted against banning memes from the internet.
Oh, I'm very happy that my dank memes are safe.
The dank memes are so safe. It's the best thing for them. I do like the headline that I saw was alleged meme ban stalls in Europe. Internet celebrates with memes, which feels appropriate, you know?
Absolutely. You gotta beat those bureaucrats with more memes, I guess.
You do. That's the only way we'll ever win, is with memes. That's the only thing our generation and the generations following us will know.
There you go.
Exactly. Like when Prohibition was lifted, I'm sure people were just, you know, enjoying a nice good homebrew.
That's it. That's how we do it.
Exactly.
A thousand years from now, we're going to have a new Rosetta Stone that just has memes next to like English words so that it translates the future so that they can understand ancient English.
Oh, there you go.
And all that's thanks fantastic. To the European Parliament for not banning it.
That's it.
Oh, they've saved the future of the world.
Nobody tells Europe thank you enough, but thank you, Europe.
Well, I got some news too here. And this is actually not as important as our memes being safe, but it's something that I saw today that I think is going to be on the forefront of a lot of people's mind. So Google Chrome has a pretty large market share of the internet browsers, right?
Yeah,
and
like
it's kind of been it, right? And it's kind of been it's joked about, but it's I mean people still use it that it uses a lot of RAM. Like, it's a pretty heavy and fat, you know, internet browser. Even though it runs pretty smooth, it does demand a lot out of your computer. So fortunately, soon it's going to be demanding even more by 30%.
Oh.
What?
Do you guys remember that Spectre vulnerability that came out?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, in order to patch it and it kind of go along with all of the security updates, according to that, Google Chrome will now be using 30%, up to 30% more memory utilization.
Oh, that just stresses me out so much.
So I guess I'll be going to Internet Explorer again.
Well, so for me, I use a Mac and I have like Safari that I use for personal like stuff. And then I do all my business, social media marketing stuff on Chrome just because it plays better with everything. But I have like all my settings turned off so that it's like not trying to do all that background stuff. because the first time I used it, it was so slow compared just trying to like load all those things. And I was like, ooh, this is not going to work. So the idea that it would try and do even more just to fix a vulnerability is, it's stressful. It's stressing me out. This is stressful, Andrew.
All right. Well, here, good news. I did just look at another source here and they're only saying 10 to 13%. But still, that's a significant amount, especially when so many people out there are running with 4 gigs. You know,
yeah,
that's kind of the bottom of the barrel. But yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how that goes. And I'm really interested to see how other pieces of software decide to interact and patch their own processes.
Wasn't that vulnerability like that? I feel like that was like a year ago. Was it? It wasn't recent.
Oh, honey, it's still happening. Oh, there's actually new versions of the vulnerability that they're discovering, like different ways they can tweak it to get around the fixes that already exist. Wow. So, yeah.
That's crazy.
Hate to bring you down, but thankfully you're on a Mac. So yeah,
I'm tightly controlled by the gods at Apple, and they protect me for in return for my loyalty and service.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how that works. 100%.
Honestly, it's pretty spot on from my experience.
Oh, good gravy.
Well.
And the piece of news that I found, Amazon's having Prime Day again, as they do to get rid of all their extra crap that and sell more Alexa devices that will laugh creepily in the background. And there's been workers calling for us to not buy on Prime Day because apparently working conditions, especially in Mexico, are not great. And so they're calling for everybody to not take part so that they are shown that they shouldn't do that, I guess.
I've heard the similar things about Amazon and how they treat their employees. But you also have to look at things like Black Friday. And how people have called in the past for people not to shop on Black Friday. And we all know how well that goes.
Yeah, what I find interesting about Prime Day is I think I only ever really looked at the first one that they did a few years back. And nothing like really drew me in to be like, oh, I need to check Prime Day every year. Because on Black Friday, it's like, oh, I'll always look at the deals on TVs or electronics or things like that. But Prime Day has never really struck me as like a need to check out the specials because they always seem like cheap or knockoff brands or whatever.
And it seems like they're just clearing out their warehouses, to be honest.
Exactly.
So, anyway.
Well, shall we get into it here? Why we brought our expert in today?
That's me. I'm the expert.
So, Kyle, what's Instagram?
What is Instagram? So, to give you an idea of my expertise... First, I handle marketing for a nonprofit. And so a large portion of my job is on social media. And then the other half is online. Barely anything is in person, which is a big part of y'all's show. So this social media aspect is a big part of it. Now, a lot of our nonprofit interacts with young adults and youth. And so a big part of our strategy is Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And even Snapchat occasionally, which we'll probably I'll mention a little bit later too. But Instagram is a fascinating platform that has evolved. I do know it started in 2010, which I feel like is earlier than I was expecting because I didn't become a user of Instagram until 2011, and I felt like it was the beginning. It felt very simple and basic and very very easy to use around the time.
Now was it created to be complementary or replacement to a site like Facebook?
The strengths that it had was that it was a photo sharing utility. So its closest competitor would have been something like Flickr back in the day. And which was something I did see. So around that time period, Yahoo bought Flickr for $35 million. And that number, like, we'll look at that number later. But that was probably its closest competitor was something like Flickr, where people wanted a place to upload better looking photography and not just like cell phone pictures that weren't set up well, that, you know, a lot of people were sharing to Facebook in albums like a whole bunch at a time. Instagram was purely, here's a photo just from today. And then that was it. And if people spammed their Instagram feed where they were like posting multiple photos through a day, it was kind of like, that's not great. It almost felt exclusive, like you needed to produce something of quality to put on there.
Okay.
Yeah, so it had a really fascinating thing. What I did learn is that in the first few months, it got 1 million users, which is something I didn't know. And around 2011, which is whenever I first used Instagram, they had 10 million users. And so it was a pretty big app. And by the end of 2011, Apple named it iPhone App of the Year, which was a huge deal. They were only on iPhones too. That was a very big deal where it was only exclusive to iPhone or iOS devices.
Oh, interesting. So me with my Android back in 2013 had no change.
No, you had to wait another year. They didn't get on Android until 2012.
Well, I said 13, but
anyway. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, so you could have gotten, I guess as soon as you got your Android phone, you could have been on Instagram. But all those early people in the beginning, it was just on iPhones. And so it was very, I guess, exclusive. And again, it kind of built this community of, this wasn't just like, if you could take a picture of your plate of food, but if you were going to do it, you were going to do it at a cool angle with maybe some lighting and add on one of their filters so that it looked artsy.
Ah, is that why the filters came into place so much?
They are a big reason why tons of apps now have filters. And even like, so if I look at my iPhone, it's interesting to see how much Instagram has influenced our technology so that like when I look on my iPhone, there is specifically a square camera for taking Instagram posts. And in that camera app by itself built into the phone, there are filters that you can add in. And all of that comes back to Instagram.
Interesting. Yeah.
And at this point in the history of Instagram, was there a lot of a social influencer company presence on the platform?
That I don't think so. I think we see that later as Facebook starts approaching it. And because so around 2011, towards the end of that, so it's only been around basically a year, Instagram had 10 million users and they were
Holy
iPhone
crap.
App of the year. Yeah. So it was, wow. It was a huge buildup and kind of exploded. And I think it goes down to just, it was so simple to use. One of the things I was super astounded by and I had like learned about later was one of their most impressive engineering, I guess like touchstones or cornerstones of the app was whenever you were going through your photo library to upload a photo, as soon as you tapped on a photo, it immediately started uploading it to Instagram. So while you were writing the caption and picking filters and all that stuff, it was uploading the photo to Instagram and it was using, cause this is 2011, 2012. We didn't have like very fast mobile speed or good Wi-Fi speed. And so It was doing all that in the background. So when you hit post, it posted the photo because it had already done the work in the background. And so,
it looked like it was super fast, but they were just kind of offloading it before you would expect it to.
Exactly. It was incredibly well engineered. And I think that was a big part of why it grew so quickly is because it was so simple. All you did was upload photos and all you could do was follow people and like their photos and comment on it. That was it.
That makes it really easy to get into then, as long as you've got friends to chat with and check out their stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think I mentioned before we started recording, a whole reason why I got into Instagram is I was living in Canada around this time period. I was after I'd been at college for a year. And I was doing some volunteer work with youth, and I wasn't allowed to have a cell phone. And it was in Canada too, so I wasn't going to like buy a plan or anything. But Instagram had kind of been obviously like a big deal or on the rise. And so my group of friends that I was with up there, we all had like iPod touches. And so we would download Instagram on there and post stuff for each other to see. One of the rules of the volunteer program we were with is we weren't allowed to have Facebook or Twitter. And so they were like, you can't have social media, but they specifically listed Facebook and Twitter. So we couldn't have Facebook or Twitter on our phones or on our iPod touches. But Instagram kind of just popped up and we were like, okay, this is it now.
Sneaky, sneaky.
We were very sneaky. And so whenever that was how we, you know, saw each other whenever we had days off and we weren't around each other all the time. And again, a lot of it was inside jokes or just stuff for each other. There was, I was looking at old photos from my Instagram account and like on the first ones, they all have 4 or 5 likes and they're all from those people that we like got Instagram together. And so it was just like just this cycle of us sharing photos with each other. So it was very similar to Facebook whenever Facebook first began. But again, I think that simplicity was just like such a drawing into their network.
That makes sense.
So as it stands today, then how is it significantly different, or what are the big changes then you would say from what it used to be and what we see in today's world?
Well, I would say it all comes on April 9th, 2012. And that's whenever Facebook bought Instagram, according to the website that I'm looking at. But so around 2012 is whenever Facebook decided to buy Instagram. And you remember I mentioned Yahoo bought Flickr for $35 million. Around the time Instagram was fundraising, they were getting financing, and they were the highest bid they had for another round of financing valued them at $500 million, which was impressive.
Man, that's insane.
And then yeah. Facebook, that's not a thing. welcome to Facebook. We are the new social network. No,
Factually.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun. Facebook is just a social network where you share pictures of your bok choy.
There you go. We've got the next $500 million idea.
This is basically exactly how Silicon Valley runs. There's definitely, this conversation has been had before. So Facebook came in and they saw all these other, you know, venture capitalists financing Instagram and buying in at, you know, a value of $500 million. And Facebook just said, we'll give you $1 billion. And so Facebook paid $1 billion. I think it was like $300 million of it was in cash. And then the rest of it was in stock in Facebook, which is absurd. And and they bought Instagram. But I think it's definitely paid off for them in the long run, because that same year in 2012, Instagram at that point had 80 million users. So it had already become this huge social network that was almost a third of the United States population.
That's insane to think about, that many people. Wow.
It's crazy.
And around that time, you definitely were seeing, too, a trend of younger generations not really gravitating as much on their Facebook feed and more going and migrating into other apps. So
definitely,
that was a good forward thought on the Facebook side.
Exactly. And mostly because older people were on Facebook. And so you couldn't share something on Facebook that your parents wouldn't want to see, but you could go to Instagram.
Of course, because young people don't want to be with their moms and dads and grandmas.
No, it's so lame. They're just so lame and they're so old. No, and
they don't want to see me out drinking with my friends. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. So to answer your question, Andrew, I guess from the beginning, whenever Facebook bought them, there's definitely like this Facebookification, which is a word. It's a word. Just trust me on that.
It is now. Exactly. Absolutely.
And so this Facebookification of Instagram, where I think a year later they started doing promoted posts. So ads were basically starting to feature. I think in 2014 was the big hubbub of, you know, before Instagram feed was specifically chronological. So at the top, you had the newest posts from your friends, and it went chronologically so you could catch up on what you missed. After that, they said, hey, we have an algorithm that's been watching you for years, and we can use that information to feature stuff you want to watch, so that way you stay engaged and you see the things you don't want to miss first. And that was a big
FOMO.
It was FOMO. And so that was a big hubbub around that was, it, you know, Facebook is ruining our Instagram by making it more like Facebook. And so then I think around that period is where we see more brands coming on board of Instagram, because the community around it. So as of today, 90% of Instagram users, which is at 800 million monthly active users, which is insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Technically, I have Instagram, but I so rarely use it that it's not even, there's no point in counting me as a user.
Well, that's why that number is astounding, because it's 800 monthly active users. So this is users that have gotten on to the app at least once a month. And I think their daily user count is something around 200 million. So it is lower, but as far as, you know, people getting on every day. But whenever you look at that number of people, you see more brands and coming on board, because 90% of those monthly active users are beneath the age of 35. And so like that's a prime demographic for selling
and brands
and all that good stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
So does Denny's have a good Instagram presence like they do on Twitter?
It's interesting, because I go to different social media networks for different reasons. And Twitter definitely focuses more, I think, on humor. And it all depends on the accounts you follow, right? But I think Twitter relates a lot more to that. And I think brands interact that way on Twitter. And so I can tell you from my research as a marketing manager, I put more of our funny content onto Twitter because I get response from that compared to Instagram. And so I personally don't know what Denny's is up to on Instagram. I don't follow them on Instagram, but of course I'm going to change that, because why wouldn't I follow Denny's on Instagram?
Right?
Yeah. I need to change that immediately.
How else are you going to get your breakfast, social media updates?
Yeah. I need to know what those pancakes look like today. So I don't think it is. It's definitely different. Like when you think of like Wendy's Twitter profile and how like sassy they are, they can't do that on Instagram as well, because sure. if they comment on another brand's post, it may show up now, because now they kind of feature, when you look at a post on Instagram, it was basically just view 800 comments, but now it'll showcase more popular people or verified users on that list so that you can kind of see how they interact. A good example is BuzzFeed always has an article that pops up about like whatever celebrities are interacting online. And sure. And there's this couple right now, Ariana Grande, who is the the singer. She is engaged to Pete Davidson from SNL. He's a comedian, and they post a lot on Instagram about each other. And if you look at their post, you can see like her response to his post or his response to her post. And so sure. now Instagram, so yeah.
It's not buried anymore under the 700 other responses.
Exactly. But it still does not go out as effectively as something like Wendy clapping back at McDonald's about frozen beef burgers or something. It doesn't. Yeah, it just doesn't. It doesn't have the same effective or efficient distribution as something like Twitter does. And that, I think, goes to its credit of why Instagram has remained popular and continued to grow. Like, so that 800 million user number was based on last year, and they expect it to be a billion this year, which is, wow. again, insane.
Man, that's just insane. Yeah, how far that's grown, man.
Right, it's been around for 8 years. Like, it's crazy. But I think one of the reasons why they've remained that popular is because they make it difficult for me to do my job. And it's a good thing. I have to be creative as a brand marketing manager. I have to be creative on Instagram because it provides me an incentive to be authentic and personable on the network compared to a place like Facebook or Twitter, where I can focus more on ad talk and things like that.
Sure. And I think that's why we probably see things like social influencers. I see a lot more talked about on mediums such as Instagram.
Yeah.
Where you are very much more personable, but it's a company that's kind of more paying a person to showcase their product versus the company itself talking about their product.
Right. I think that's, talks about like when we talk about videos being limited to a minute. It's very difficult to try and just copy an ad from Facebook and put it onto Instagram. That it doesn't make it as easy, but it incentivizes me to create a specific video for our Instagram audience that stops at a minute. And so there it's very good for the user, and it makes brands work harder for their users' attention, which is, I think, ultimately a very good thing for, what we're doing on social media. We're trying to stay engaged and stay connected. And that comes, y'all have talked about this the last two episodes. It comes at a price, and you have to figure [S2] Yes. [S1] Out how much you're willing to pay. And I think Instagram, the reason why it has remained popular is because the price feels lower than some of the other social networks.
That makes a lot of sense. So from a company perspective, why would you want to be on Instagram?
I think, so number one, the user base. So again, I work for a nonprofit that talks a lot to young adults and young people. And that mm-hmm. demographic is very key. People that are on Instagram are just engaged more. They go through their feed more regularly. They, double tap on posts, which gives them a like, and they'll comment and things like that. And then stories came about a few years back. And so stories, if you're not familiar, is a way of sharing 15-minute videos that are vertical, that fill up the whole screen. And so you can tap on that person's profile icon, and that brand or that person can film a bunch of different videos that stack up together, and they are very normally personable and things like that, just basically somebody opening up the camera and talking. And they are 15 seconds in length, but they only stay around for 24 hours. So it's not long-term video. And it's something that Instagram stole directly from Snapchat. So, and I don't know how familiar y'all are with Snapchat, but that's like a whole feud, I guess, between Instagram and Snapchat.
Is the story thing.
So Instagram, since Facebook has bought it, has been very, very good at taking good things from its competitors and then making them Instagram-y. So the video part, the video for Instagram used to be limited to 15 seconds or 10 seconds. Ooh. No, it used to be 10 seconds. And the whole reason they did that is because Twitter created Vine. And mm-hmm. Vine was 6-second videos. And Instagram at that point did not have videos at all. It was only photos. So Instagram was like, hey, we'll give you 10 seconds of video. And that was their competitor. And they
think of all the crazy things you can do with those extra 4 seconds.
Honestly, I was on board with Vine from the beginning, and I was so impressed by how people used 6 seconds. I had no idea people could be that creative. It was crazy.
Me too.
Long live Vine. Yeah. Vine should come back. We miss you, Vine.
Amen.
And then so Snapchat came around. I don't know exactly when Snapchat started, but I know it was around this time. It was around like 2011 or 2012. And it was a messaging service. It was not a social network as we would think of it now. It was purely a messaging service where you sent a message inside of a photo to a person. They opened it. And then as soon as they saw it, it disappeared and went away. And then that was it. And then whenever Snapchat was like, hey, we should be more of a social network because right now people don't stick around in our app. They only check their inbox. And mm-hmm. so Snapchat created Stories, which is the exact same name. And so Snapchat created Stories where people could record short videos that would stack up together and it would be on there for 24 hours and then it would disappear. And then Instagram was like, hey, that looks real good. Let's take it. Also, we're not changing the name. We're going to call it Instagram Stories now.
Ouch.
Yeah. So they took it. And then Instagram Stories has come so far in the 3 years that it's been around to the point where now it has 200 million daily active users. And
oh, wow.
That was, I think, actually a number from last year. Damn. And that's double of what Snapchat's user numbers are like. And and so they've already surpassed Snapchat by 100 million miles. And I think a big part of that, too, is Instagram made it is easier for brands to use than Snapchat because it's difficult for me to use Snapchat to reach out because I can only use it through the device and I can't. It's more difficult to upload media to Snapchat. I have to do everything live. Compared to Instagram, where I could always pull photos or videos from my library that I could create or kind of polish and make it look a little bit better.
It's all good.
No, that was amazing because
I feel really educated now.
I do.
Yeah, I personally love Instagram. Like I use Instagram every day because I like just being able to go through the feed and it seems like everything that I follow on Instagram, you don't have to read too much into it. It's just a photo or it's just a video and the videos are a minute long at most. And so you're able to go through it. Now, if we're talking about the evolution of Instagram, I think the next big like Facebookification that has happened is something called IGTV, which sounds like a very bad channel on a
it
television
really
that sells like old purses. I would say old purses.
Yeah,
but,
and maybe like dog supplies.
So that's the only two things they sell is old purses and dog supplies.
Yes,
and
100%.
It's weird that they combined them, but it's a very specific demographic. So Instagram TV is something they added into their app, and then they also created a separate app for that would allow creators to upload longer videos that people could watch. And they're all vertical. And so this is, again, a big point of Instagram is that all of the videos, whether in the stories or in the IGTV, are all vertical. So they take up a whole phone screen. And they can be up to 10 minutes long if you're a normal, like, everyday Instagram user. And if you are a verified user, they can be up to an hour long. And this this is very much like a, hey, Facebook knows Instagram has very good users that are very devoted to the social network. Let's try and take some of YouTube's power away because YouTube hasn't been looking too great the last few years with the way that they've been censoring and, like, dealing with stuff. And so, yeah.
That's a whole nother episode or three.
Totally.
Yeah,
one day YouTube and Google are going to learn that algorithms can't solve everything. And I think that'll be important for the future.
It's super interesting to see that Instagram, I didn't expect, I thought that they would take over the social media market, but I wasn't expecting them to go the route of taking in or trying to cut into YouTube. So it'd be really exciting to see where they go from that going down the road here.
Well, and I think it's, again, whenever you're talking about Instagram, you always have to, it's kind of like Big Brother, right? You have Instagram just sitting there looking all sweet and innocent. And then behind them is the big blue F and Facebook is always there, you know, watching them and trying to push them some way. And I think that's part of it. Facebook wants to focus on their social media stuff, but Instagram is all focused around photos and videos. So they're like, okay, we can kind of go after YouTube here, because they've already annihilated Snapchat. Snapchat is still popular with specific demographics, but I can tell you, I used to use Snapchat a lot, and I use it a lot with very specific friends. But beyond that, it's not a go-to app anymore for me. It's Instagram.
Right.
I could easily see Instagram even becoming part of Facebook's. They announced a while back that they want to try and get into the dating scene.
Oh, yeah.
And I could easily see Instagram becoming a key part of that.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see how they integrate it. Because, you know, all the stuff I just said that they've done over the past years has made the app crowded. And again, I think one of the best parts of the Instagram experience is its simplicity. But it's starting to get more crowded. The same way Facebook looks totally different than it did 5 years ago. And it's kind of ridiculous to try and sort through it.
Yeah, there's definitely times I kind of get tired of my Facebook feed and just go to my little whatever group that I like and hang out with those people rather than combing through.
But. Yep, same. I'm trying to think of what else Instagram has done. Instagram did steal the Snapchat like direct messaging, so you could directly message users, which wasn't a thing in the past. You would always have to comment. So if you wanted somebody, like one of your friends, to notice a post, you would comment below them and like with their username, and then they would notice it. A few years back, they added tags to where you could follow tags, hashtags, and follow specific things. And yeah, Instagram is definitely, it's become an amalgam of just taking a bunch of different things from other places at work and just using it. And they're not very shy about talking about just them taking things, because that's what they do. Like I said, Instagram stories is literally just called Instagram stories, and Snapchat was like, hey, that's what
it's
we call
thing.
Exactly. You can't just take it.
Our stuff.
Yeah. So, and then I guess like the monetization stuff behind it is also much more Facebooky. Like promoted posts come up more often, and sometimes they are scary relevant, which I like. Y'all talked a little bit with Facebook and things like that, but how much data you give them? I was going through Instagram a few months ago, and within my company, we were talking about designers and like contracting a third party designer for different projects. And an Instagram ad came up that was like, it was for something called, I can't remember the name. It was like Pickle or something, but they were a third party contract firm that you would pay a flat rate for, and they would handle projects for you. And I looked at the ad and I was like, that's amazing. That's perfect. And then, which is what they want me to think, like that's the point of serving relevant ads. But then I got freaked out, because then I was like, how did they know?
How did they know that that's what I was needing at that moment?
Exactly. And then that's where you start to go like introspective, like, what did I talk about? What did I share? What did I say out loud? Are they listening to me right now? Are they in my brain? We don't know.
I think a combination of all three, or all of them.
Yeah.
Got to get our tinfoil hats out.
Yep, that'll be it. Or is that what they want? And that's where they put the chip. They put the chip in the tinfoil hats.
Dang. That's smart.
That's what I would do. Not to say I haven't thought a lot about taking over the world, but that's definitely one of the first things I would do.
Absolutely. Put the chips in all the things that they think are going to help them avoid.
Yeah,
nice.
Exactly. That's how you get them.
I, for one, welcome my robot overlords.
As long as it's by Google, because I'm a big Google fanboy.
I could hear that in y'all's discussion in the previous episodes. I was like, ooh, they're Googlers.
they still more or less have a don't be evil policy. They dropped the exact wordage, but they're like, do good is now their policy or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's always good to strive for.
In general, yeah, exactly. Very good.
Well, thank you for coming onto our podcast and sharing your info. What is your podcast? Because I know you got an interesting one out there. Would you like to share that with us?
Yeah, sure. So I have a podcast that is absolutely in no way related to anything I just said, except that it exists on social media and it also has my voice. But I have a show that I do with one of my close friends called The M Word, which is a millennial podcast by millennials. And we talk about everything. We're very relaxed.
It's so random.
It's very, very random. For example, I just edited this week's episode. It comes out on Fridays, and I just edited this current episode, and we talked about Fred Rogers for a good 15 minutes. And it was very important, I think, discussion. But I think our goal is always to just like, hey, there's a lot of problems in the world, and millennials are like, we're the muscle now. We're the muscle generation. We got to get to work. And so we solve those problems, but most of the time we don't actually solve them in the podcast.
Well, it's all good.
We try.
Theoretical solving is kind of like doing it.
Right? That's what's
exactly
important.
Even if you just veer off and talk about Mr. Rogers for an hour, it's great.
It's honestly, it made me so happy. So yeah, so that's The M Word. It comes out on Fridays, and you can find more at mwordpod.com.
Excellent.
Awesome.
And as always, here on Service Desk, you can find us on Twitter. We don't have an Instagram. I don't think we will.
No, so to tell
at least for the near future.
I can tell you our show doesn't have an Instagram either, and it's mostly because it's very difficult to try and share just audio content to a photo and video social network. So I can tell you, yes, we're the same.
Excellent. So
but we are on Twitter, like you said. We are on Facebook.
Service Desk Pod on Twitter, Facebook, Service Desk Podcast,
and servicedeskpodcast.com.
There we go. And you can reach us by email, which no one has bothered to try yet because that's an antiquated version of talking to people anymore.
It's like faxes. Ugh.
I might as well send a horse with a messenger.
Exactly. Which, if you can send a horse with a messenger and get to me, we will 100% put the whole thing on our podcast, all the social media, and probably invite you to join us.
And also the horse will be highly featured on that week's episode.
Exactly. Oh, man. Now I want that to happen.
Okay, so anybody nearby... I'm not going to give my location away. Never mind.
Anybody near the United States of America?
Well, Nebraska specifically. I have said that before. Anyway. What else are we missing, Andrew? There's part of our sign off.
I'm Andrew.
Oh, wait. Rate, and review.
Oh, yes. And comment, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Because that's how we get better on the iTunes social network, because that's the thing.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Kim, and we are your techie friends.